Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to Wrestle Rock with Rick Connor.
What the F was that entire freaking promo about?
Mark Kalbacher.
She's like the James Ellsworth of women.
And Corey Castle.
I look like Paul London and Brian Kendrick mixed.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Thank you very much for joining us for another episode of Wrestle Rock. It's Rick Connor and Mark Kalbacher. Corey Castle is not here. No Corey Castle today whatsoever. So we're safe. No puns going on today.
He was too busy winning championships. I was hoping he would come on so we could see the belt.
Yeah. Corey Castle won the No Limits Championship at DCW over this weekend. It was pretty cool. It was just a kind of a series. I mean, I think he was going to, you know, win it anyway. I don't know too much about the behind-the-scenes stuff, but... the guy that was holding the belt, somebody in his family came down with COVID, so obviously he couldn't be there. And, he's at home taking care of his family and trying to protect us all from getting the stupid pandemic crap that's still going around somehow. He had to relinquish the belt because it hasn't been defended in over a year due to everything being, everything being shut down and everything like that. So he gave up the belt. And, they kind of had this little mini tournament of two triple threat matches and then a singles match with those two winners. Of course, my cat picks now to go nuts. I'm going to take care of that one second. Jesus Christ, that's just going to continue to be a hassle.
I would talk about it, but I don't know what happened. All I know is Corey posted the picture of... Let me see. I got to stop dropping my laptop because my camera's like off-center now. All I know is I saw the picture on Instagram and winning the championship and then him canceling as we were going to do the show today. Because apparently he can't get a signal or now he's traveling.
He's in Florida visiting family and we were going to do it.
How weird is that, dude? My camera's like off-center.
Yeah, it's weird doing this double shot thing here. Let me see if I can go back to what we usually do. All right. Something like this. It's a little bit better, I think.
Okay. I don't know. I dropped my laptop a couple days ago, and now everything's like on an angle.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. But, man, Cody Castle, new DCW No Limits champion. So congrats to him, wherever he may be. He's flying over the Mid-Atlantic right now, or some, the Midwest, whatever the hell. I don't know how to get to Florida. But I don't know. It's probably a straight line. I don't know. Whatever. He's in America. I don't know. Sure.
It's only like a gradual curve. It goes from wherever he was in Florida through Atlanta through DC into us.
Yeah.
Route.
It's probably like the easiest trip you can make in an airplane. And I'm like, no, I think you have to go around Iowa somewhere, don't you?
Don't get me wrong. I don't know about when you guys wrestle, but when I was, let me know if that's too loud too. I actually have the window open since my landlords don't want to fix my air conditioning and are wondering why they haven't gotten their rent this month. which we call it, like when I used to be an engineer, I could be going to somewhere as simple as like Atlanta and somehow to get a cheaper flight, I'd have to fly all the way into like Denver before I can like fly back to it. I'm like, wait, you guys can pay an extra $150 for me to go to a straight flight. I gotta sit in Minneapolis for 4 hours before I go.
It is crazy how they do that. It's like, why is there a layover all the way over there when it should be just a straight line? I don't know why they do it, but
it's pretty much when you get Kayak or any of those and you want to fly Spirit. We're going to dump you in Dallas just so you can go. It's like, why?
All right, let's get to some wrestling chat, shall we? There was some stuff going on that it feels weird. We're in like the middle of next week, but we still got to talk about things like Kenny Omega being a triple-time champion now since he beat Rich Swann for the Impact title. And it's still relevant today because now apparently Andrade wants to challenge for that belt. I don't know where Andrade is. I heard this happened in like AAA or something like that. He just popped on and did a quick promo.
I saw the clickbait for it, and I didn't know if it was real to actually watch it. But I'm sorry, man. Between WrestleTalk and a couple of the other those garbage sites,
yeah,
even WrestleLamia, and there's another one. They're all like garbage. And because I watch What Culture, and I actually watch WWE and AEW clips, all this like garbage just pops up all over my screen. I heard Andrade challenged them. I mean, this is really good for wrestling, especially if you're not a WWE fan. You want to learn what's out there. Like, people don't understand how big this is that Kenny Omega now holds three belts in three different federations, and he's not a huge name. He's not a Moxley. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to the uber, like, I'm sorry, I know like five geeks just got mad. Like, uber fans know enough of him to maybe check out AAA, or maybe go over and check out Impact, you know, because Impact, you know, their ratings still haven't been that great, and the only time it is good is when Omega shows up on there. So, this is like bigger than it. I know WWE is pretending like nothing's going on, but this is bigger than they get, because what it is now you've got a group of federations kind of banding together to produce content and try to steal fans away, and we'll get to it. And Raw is really helping people to the bounce, because how bad that show is.
It's
god awful, man. It's night and day. You have SmackDown, Raw, and then NXT is some kind of weird in between, where like some of the storylines and wrestling's old school NXT and the rest of it's Raw. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a hard time now even watching NXT, because once those storylines start kicking in, I don't want to watch the show anymore. I don't care about what's her name, the one girl in the way, and how she's in love with Dexter Lumis. And
yeah, I don't know what that is.
And now the dude, what's his name, LA Knight, is getting involved in that. And like, it's like, I don't care. I just I want the old like 1980s style like wrestling they were doing on air. I want to see Walter versus Ciampa again. I want to see Kyle O'Reilly versus, like, you know, Finn Balor again. I don't want to see all this garbage that's going on here.
Yeah, it was something to look forward to every takeover, where you saw, you know, so many different like they would have five matches, and every single one you're like, oh my god, I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. This is going to be great. That match is going to be great. And now it's like, okay, you got Leon Ruff versus somebody. Like, it's like, okay, it'll be good, I guess, but it's not really to look forward to.
They usually end up being good matches. Like, I can't, with the exception, I think the only match that fell flat in the last, I don't know how many takeovers, was what, Regina Gonzalez and I think I got her name right that time. I always forget it.
Raquel.
I don't know why. I love this woman too. Her and Dakota Kai. I love that they didn't break them up. I like that they still have them together. Her versus Rhea Ripley was probably the biggest bust out of the last so many matches. The matches will be still good on TakeOver. The problem is now I'm having trouble being invested in those matches because the storylines are so bad and so poorly written. And it's like watching – it's just like watching Raw all over again. And it's like I can't get through it. And it's this weird thing where SmackDown and Raw – are absolute night and day. And even the bad storylines on SmackDown, because the show's only 2 hours long, they go by so quickly. Whereas Raw, you can watch bad segment after bad segment after bad segment. And then there's Lily, and I don't even know what the hell that is yet, because I thought she was like some kind of acolyte to The Fiend, and now The Fiend's gone. And now there's some weird doll that looks like the spoon from Toy Story, like laughing in the screen. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I have no idea what the Lily thing. I mean, sure, it's creepy, but where the hell do you go from? I mean, this looks like another Perry Saturn with Moppy situation. Like, where do you go with it? Like, what happens? Raw, like you were saying, Raw and SmackDown are so night and day. To me, it's the point where I watch SmackDown and I'm going, oh my god, this is great. Wrestling's great. I can't wait to go watch more wrestling. And then Raw happens and I'm like, I never want to see this crap again for the rest of my life. Like, it just happened last night and I'm like, oh god, I gotta do Wrestle Rock today because It just drains the life out of me, and I don't want to do anything to do with wrestling because of Raw.
Well, that's the hard thing too, because we've always been like that comedy, like trying to stay positive type show. And every now and then, like WWE did it. I think it was like Matt was still on the show. I remember we had that one. It was like almost a year of just bad show after bad show, and we're trying to do a show, and you can just see him like boiling on the other side because he just wanted to rage about how bad the product was, and we're like trying to be like, hey guys, like laugh at it, and we're sitting in the same situation now, because you sit there and you got SmackDown where you have Daniel Bryan's last match on SmackDown with Roman Reigns, and then you have Seth Rollins tied into that because he still has a problem with Cesaro, but Cesaro's now, you know, hanging with you know Daniel Bryan, and he's going after the belt, and then you even got they're going into like they even know how to tie in stuff where they show Shinsuke Nakamura, and he's like, I think Daniel Bryan will win, and then he leans in and goes, I want a match. Like little things like this where they're making the secondary title, which people keep forgetting this. Like, even though it's Roman Reigns, that is not the WWE title. That is the Raw title they built for Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. It's more exciting to want to see what's going on with that title than Bobby Lashley. And it's no fault of Bobby Lashley's. It's no fault of Drew McIntyre or whoever else is fighting for it. It's just writing. It's just really bad writing and constant distraction finishes and constant like SmackDown is like a very tight show, and like I said, even the bad one, like I'm over the tag team division in SmackDown. Like, I'm over everything that's going on there. I don't care if Rey Mysterio and his kid win ever. I'd rather see Otis and Chad Gable win it, because why did both of them turn heel again if they're still not even winning anything?
It's funny, like Daniel Bryan was talking about how many people he would love to see go to New Japan, and he brought up Otis. And he's like, Otis is good, and nobody sees it because he's buried in this tag team where it's kind of like half a comedy gimmick. And now, especially with him face, like, people were saying he could be like a Vader-style person, like a Big Van Vader-style, but he's buried in this weird tag team that nobody really cares about because nobody cares about the tag team division.
It's no fault of the other wrestlers there in the tag team division's fault. All writing. It's all, you know, like they've been saying, everybody else has been saying, like, it seems like the people writing these shows are writing to just please Vince McMahon instead of writing to please the fans. And everybody knows Vince doesn't like tag teams, so there's no, you know, there's no effort put into the tag team division. It's just this endless cycle of 3 to 5 tag teams always wrestling each other over and over again. And it sucks because especially SmackDown, they have a lot of really talented guys, and it's the same guys wrestling over and over again. And it's like, then there's no interest. I mean, then you have Monday, and this is what I wanted to get into. They open the show with AJ and Almost in a New Day, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Maybe Raw is finally getting back to the way it was, because it was this really fun tag match. She just
Jesus Christ. This little monster right here. Dear God.
How old is she?
4 months. She's 4 months old.
Just launched off the chair at your backboard.
But like, oh, my God.
The only thing I don't like is I don't like how they're making AJ like the fall guy and he's getting beat up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But they're handling Almost as well as they can for how limited he is. I mean, and the sad part is I was watching, I was like, this guy, he's had 2 matches, and then you watch a couple hours later, he's better than Lana. And Lana's been in WWE for what, like 6 years?
Something like that, yeah. That's the truth.
And it's like this guy, like they, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's also working with Xavier Woods and Kofi. But he's going slightly slower than he should, but he's, you know, he's not hurting anybody, still putting on big moves. And then, you know, AJ doing the phenomenal forearm off his shoulders. I was like, I was all in. I was like, yeah, man, let's go. And then the next storyline, I'm like, and I hate WWE again. Like,
none of it made any sense. It was like they started off so strong. That's ripping my headphones off. Jesus, why do I let her down here? They started off so strong, and it was just like a gradual slope just heading straight down. Because ended with that weird Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman thing where McIntyre got involved. And McIntyre got involved because somebody else got involved in his match before. He's tired of getting distracted, and then he went out and distracted somebody. Like, none of it made any sense. It was just worse and worse and worse as the show went on.
And not only that, right? Who's the bad guy, right? Is Bobby the bad guy?
I don't know.
Is Braun Strowman the bad guy? Because at the end, Drew McIntyre runs in there and clips Bobby Lashley without him looking, and I'm supposed to think he's a hero? I'm supposed to think he's a good guy? Like, dude, WWE with their twisted, hey, let's make everybody some kind of, like, watered-down Stone Cold, not understanding it wasn't Stone Cold doing those dirty tactics. It was Stone Cold himself that we rooted for. Yeah. Like, you can't do that with every fit, and I'm just tired of it. It's just bad. And then you break up the Hurt Business, make them a separate tag team, make them lose 3 weeks, and then you break them up. Like,
it's fly by night, like seat of their pants.
Oh, you better watch it.
Jesus Christ. It's like they just.
She's on a roll today.
Did you do a bunch of cocaine before you came down here? Jesus, cat. Oh, my God. Sorry for anyone that's listening to the audio and not watching the video. I have a crazy kitten that's literally climbing the walls behind me, and tugging on my headphone cords and everything else. But, it's like they write what they want to write every week, and they don't care if it doesn't match up with what happened last week. Like, we saw it with Charlotte Flair getting suspended 1 week and then coming back the next week and just coming back in like nothing ever happened. And now she's added to a title match. It's like, what, nobody's planning anything. There's nothing planned. Like, they'll just write something for this week, and just whatever happens next week, they'll write something completely new.
That's when I checked out of Raw. Like, was that scene alone? Because you have Sonya Deville, who I thought she was the assistant to the GM, and she was mainly on SmackDown. Now she's like wearing a red suit, so I guess she's the Raw assistant GM. I don't get it. Shows up. What's the storyline? Like, because we all know she's like, I don't know if they're what they're doing, because we all know she's gay. Are they going to play some really bad storyline where she's in love with Charlotte and that's why Charlotte's getting all this? If they do that, I'm going to flip. Because I can't. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people like hear me complain. I can't deal with Charlotte Flair anymore. I can't deal with, no matter what, she gets put in the title picture. They have already proven that she does not move the needle whatsoever when she's on the screen.
Yeah.
The only female who moves the needle is Becky Lynch. And until she comes back, I don't understand this constant focus on a wrestler that, and now they're bringing reality into the storyline. Like when, Rhea Ripley came out and she's like, why are you even here? No one likes you. Because now there's this big rumor that she doesn't get along with anybody in the back. Mm. It's like everybody's tired of her constantly being in the title picture, and everybody else has to wrestle Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler for like 45 times a week. Like, I don't get it, dude. It's the same thing. Like, I guess Vince McMahon doesn't care about the women's division either, so they just create content just so they're on the screen, and then they're gone. You know, it's been rough, man. It's been rough. It's a shame, because then you have AEW that's doing very well. Like, you hate it or love it. Like, at least it's an entertaining show. Mm-hmm. Like, they do their little parlay, which was like cool to see Sean Spears actually talk for the first time in I don't know how long. And, you know, Jericho and MJF killed it, absolutely killed it. You got this crazy thing with Kenny Omega and Eddie Kingston and John Moxley going on. There's so much going on over there. And then Miro, the whole thing where he destroyed Kip Sabian.
Yeah.
He destroys him, and then he's just hugging him while he's all beat up. I forgive you. And he's just patting his head. Just like really like cool like stuff that you're used – like that you want to see him wrestling. And then you watch WWE, and it's like content created, whether it's good or bad, just create content. The Fiend is gone. Now you got, like I said, Alexa Bliss is like now some girl that was bullied all her life in high school or something like that. And her imaginary friend's now this magical doll that she created through the Fiend's powers. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
And poor Mansoor, or Mansoor, oh, however you even say that guy's name. He was 49-0, and then the second that he gets to the main roster, they completely destroy his undefeated streak.
How do you do
that? And didn't even mention it. Didn't even mention it.
How do you do
it? Because all the wins he chalked up were on like NXT, or not even NXT, but it'd be like 205 Live and Main Event and all this other stuff, and nobody knew about it. He had the biggest undefeated streak in so long, and it was just completely done. And then they just blew it off for a Sheamus disqualification with Humberto Del Rio, or whatever his name is.
Carrillo.
Whatever it is. I almost said Humberto Del Rio.
He's in hot water again or something. I don't even want to get into him. Guy's a psychopath, man.
Yeah.
How hard that guy's falling. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't know what's going on in Raw. And you constantly hear that Vince McMahon's one tearing up the scripts, rewriting them, and all. It's like, he can't be doing this. I can't believe this is Vince McMahon. And if it is, why isn't anybody talking about maybe it's time for him to step down? Why is no one like at the balls to like talk to Vince and be like, look, man, we're tanking hard. Like, we need to take it in a new direction.
Is there there has to be like a board of directors that he answers to? Like, I know he's the owner of the company and stuff, but I mean, doesn't there have to be somebody that like, hey, you know, we work for this company and we have money invested and you're tanking the company? Like, somebody has to look at this and just go, stop tearing up the scripts the day of the show, because makes sense.
Nobody's watching the show. He just keeps doing their quarterly reports, and because they got bought, the WWE network got bought by the Peacock network, and they have deals in like different countries. They're basically set up to make more money than they ever have. So like, yeah, all these people, all these board of directors, all these like high end stockholders, they're not watching the product. They don't know how badly the product is going. They just see the numbers money wise. Like, that's all they're seeing is the actual income that's coming in. They're not seeing that, like, the show, how bad the show is. They're not seeing the fact that, like, fans are leaving in droves and going to AEW or AAA or Impact or whoever else is out there. Now there's a rumor that after them kicking Mickie James out, they're actually thinking about doing an all-women's division after she was the one who begged them for years to do that.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening. And then, like, you've had all the firings, like you remember, you were mentioning Mickie James, and then a whole bunch of other people got fired as well. And now they're bringing back people like Jinder Mahal, and putting him on Main Event with that monster. What is her name? Indus Sheer. It's this like monster tag team. They were part of that India show, the Superstar Spectacle or Spectacular, yeah, or whatever that was called. And you had on Main Event, you had Jinder Mahal versus Jeff Hardy, two former WWF champions, WWE champions, and nobody knows about it because it's on Main Event. I'm like, whatever, WWF champions, you know what I'm talking about? Like, it just didn't seem to make any sense. And they're bringing Eva Marie back. Like, what is happening? What the hell is happening? Why you're firing people and then you're hiring people?
From what I know, she's been hired.
I just don't understand it.
From what I know, she was hired months ago and it's just been sitting on the shelf and they just didn't know how to bring her back. And it's like, oh, now that we released all these girls that weren't even on TV anyway, we're going to bring this girl on. And it's like, oh, okay. So the four girls that you fired and three of them were super talented. Like, you didn't put them on TV, but now you're going to put this girl that was so atrocious, people would turn the television off when she was on the screen.
Yeah.
And she's an 11. She's that hot, and people couldn't stand her on the television. Like, I don't get it either.
I don't know. Like, she's nice to look at, sure, but, I mean, that only goes so far. Like, they're going to put her back in the ring? She barely wrestled when she was in the company in the first place. I don't understand. Is it just the hotness factor? Is that the only reason she has a job? Because that sucks.
It sucks, but look at it, dude. It's just, it's business, man. Like, people can do all this stuff. Like, it's not fair. It's not, you know, they don't, they had the woman, they messed her up. And for some reason now all she does is get beat up by, they had Mandy Rose. They were pushing her as the next one. She's stunning. She's a good looking girl. She has a hell of a knee lift. She can't do much else, but that knee lift is pretty. And yeah, like I said, she's one of, we were just talking about Otis, and I've been saying this for months. Her and Otis were one of the biggest storylines of last year, 2019 going into last year. It ended up being one of the top matches at WrestleMania. And now Otis is never even talked about anymore. And then she's just jobbing out like every week. And then they put her with Dana Brooke, which I don't get that anyway. That's like, you might as well just, you might as well just open the back door and tell them both to kick, you know, kick rocks. Cause you're, right, you're basically destroying two careers at once. And it's just, I don't do this. This is like, this is the thing with WWE. It's just been lately. It's just, they don't care. Cause what they're going to do, like Mansoor, 49-0. Oh, well, you know, people barely know who he is. So they won't be mad that he's, you know, he was undefeated instead of doing something special with it. He's done. Bet money 6 months. He won't even be on the roster. No, he'll be on the roster. He won't be on television because they're going to need him whenever they go overseas.
Right, right. He'll just be that overseas guy that gets called up. You know, it's like, oh yeah, we're going to India. Bring up Mansoor. You know, we're going to whatever. You know, it just, they have a lot of people like that. Like, look at Umberto. They just brought him up. I thought they were going to do something cool with the whole Sheamus Open Challenge thing, which was, use all these guys that you never use, that you never see on the main roster, and you know, have them job out to Sheamus. And like every week you see Mansoor, you'll see I don't know, Mojo Rawley. I know he's not with the company anymore, but like all these people that you probably thought were fired, and you never saw, like you never see them on TV, bring them out, give them like a little bit of to shine. It's like, oh yeah, I remember this guy, he's actually good.
Well, not only that, a lot of these dudes are smaller than him. A lot of these guys are smaller than Sheamus. Mansoor,
yeah.
Humberto Carrillo. What, like, why not do like a fun little gimmick where he's taking on all comers, but they're all cruiserweights. And then you get them to shine and do all these crazy moves because, you know, Sheamus is a tank. And, you know, whether you like him or not, the guy's a hell of a wrestler. You know, like, and then he has a finisher that he can do out of nowhere. So, yeah, these guys do all this stuff, make him look good, and then bro kick him in that, like, you know, the next week, and then next, you know, next cruiserweight, come on down, you know, the next week. It'll be way more interesting than you bring out a guy. Only some of us really know him because we had the network, and know him from NXT. And well, I never watched 205 Live, but from NXT, and I know him from the Saudi Arabia shows, him winning on those. You bring him out, you announce that he's 49-0 coming in there. They just did that guy dirty, and he's done. Yeah. Like with that quick, destroyed him.
It's like Asuka. Once she lost her WrestleMania, she just went on a losing streak. They had her, you know, jobbing out to James Ellsworth and Carmella. You know, it just went downhill from here. It's going to be the same thing with this guy, and it sucks. And the Umberto, like, he came back out of obscurity. Like, a lot of people don't even remember him, barely. Like, yeah, oh, didn't he do something with Rey Mysterio once? And that was it. And now he's just jobbing out the Sheamus.
Well, they had him doing that whole thing, too, with Andrade and Garza. You know, they had all them doing those tag matches. And, like, I think Carrillo's related to Garza, if I'm right. I think they're cousins or whatever. And, like, they could have built that up. They could have done anything with that. And instead, what – you got Garza, who has star written all over him with his looks, and that wing clipper is one of the dopest finishers in the business.
Yeah.
He's chasing Nia Jax around. How much are we going to do this whole thing that everybody's in love with the chick that every wrestling fan can't stand? Like, yeah. And it's not. It's because she sucks. She just sucks.
She's awful. Yeah, it's not because she's doing a good job being a heel. It's just because she sucks as a wrestler and she's injuring people. And now Garza's doing this thing where he's shoving roses up people's butts. Like, poor Drew Gulak, man. Jesus Christ, he haven't been on TV in months, and now he's known for getting a rose up his ass.
Not only that, what was it? What was it, 6 months ago? He was with Daniel Bryan, and he was like, one of the guys headlining like SmackDown, and then they trade him, and he becomes a gate chasing for the 24/7 title, and now he has a rose in his butt. One of the best technical wrestlers in the world, and the guys, it just there's some, and I hate using this word because there's something systemically wrong with WWE. Like from top to bottom, they have some kind of whatever their system is. It needs to go away. It needs to be rebuilt. It needs to be restructured. There's too many talented guys. There's too much going on. They're making all the money in the world, but they could be making even more money if they actually cared. That's what blows my mind. And isn't that the whole thing about owning a business is making money? And if you make money, the wrestlers make money, then they're happy. Everybody's happy. I mean, these guys are making more money than they would anywhere else, except for maybe Japan or, depending on their name. But like, dude, really, is it worth it going out there every week to throw tomatoes at Randy Orton? By the way, one of the best segments in the whole show.
That made me laugh.
I gotta admit that that's got money written all over it. Mm-hmm. I mean, until he turns on Matt Riddle, and then it's even got more money written on it. I like them as a tag team. I'm actually enjoying that. It was the only thing besides seeing AJ and Almost out there that I enjoyed. Is I think Matt Riddle and Randy Orton. Randy Orton has chemistry with so many dudes. That's so subtle, and people love to hate him because of his slow style of wrestling.
Yeah.
But that whole thing where he made him zip his mouth shut and with the key, and he put his hand out, he had to put the key in his hand. Like, it was just like little goofy things like that, man. People forget or go a long way. Yeah.
It's entertaining. I just don't trust WWE to do anything good with it. Like you can tell this is like a little bit of Randy Orton, like throwing some, hey, what if I did this? What if I did this? Because he has the clout that he can actually do that. But hopefully they're just not like, all right, it's been 3 weeks. Now we're breaking you guys up. So, this story needs to go on for a little while. Build this story up. Don't just be like, okay, well, you guys are going to wrestle on WrestleMania Backlash, and that'll be it.
When's SummerSlam? SummerSlam's what, like August?
August sometime, yeah. Your house is on fire, Mark.
welcome to the city. That's enough time to build a storyline. You think about it, having, June, July, and then maybe a week or two in August, depending on the date, because I haven't checked the date. I think that could be a really good, you think you turn on them, Randy turns on somewhere like mid-July, and then you have like a three week build to the pay-per-view. I think it's SummerSlam, Riddle versus Randy Orton. Like I know Corey doesn't like the way Riddle throws those open hand strikes and some of his other moves, but I think Riddle has a massive upside. He's built for WWE. His personality, his wrestling style, he can do whatever they want him to do, and he's charismatic. I think he's got a huge upside to him.
Yeah, I agree with some of what Corey says. His execution of stuff is just not very good. Some stuff's good, some stuff is not. But if you go and look back at that match he had with Sheamus at WrestleMania, that was amazing. That was one of the best matches on the card. So the guy can work his ass off. Like, it wasn't Sheamus carrying him. You can see it. So, he can do it. He can absolutely. And with Orton, are you kidding me? Like, that's a no-brainer. That's going to be one of the, if they build it up to SummerSlam, then that'll be one of the best matches. Absolutely.
And I'm actually looking forward to it because I think like I said, Matt Riddle can adapt. You have Orton that does that real methodical, like beating you. Like, Riddle can sell a move and then also turn it into a grinding match. I mean, it won't be an exciting WWE match, but I could see this being really hard hitting and like a grinded out match. And it said, you guys can, people can talk about his execution, but man, I know a guy named John Cena didn't really execute moves well. And the guy was massive, absolutely massive. And the one thing both of them have in common, when John Cena walked in a ring with a Randy Orton, with an AJ Styles, with a Daniel Bryan, all of a sudden, those moves just tweaked a little bit better, and everything just hit a little bit harder and a little bit faster, and those matches were awesome. So, and it's like a guy like Riddle is exactly what WWE needs right now. They also need Keith Lee.
Yeah. Oh, speaking about dropping the ball. But let me, I think they moved him down to NXT, but I wanted to talk about NXT a little bit. I've been seeing promos for something called the Diamond Mine. Do you know anything about this? On NXT? They did a promo last week. I think they did one the week before as well. I'm not sure. It looks like a big like a UFC type of thing. So I don't know if they're building a new tag team or if this is going to be like a segment, like a Raw Underground type of thing, but on NXT. So I don't know what's happening.
The problem is, let's see. I'm just looking at stuff. I have no clue about it, and I apologize. I took a week off last week of NXT. I just needed a break after the two takeovers, the 2 days of takeover. And then I was having trouble getting into it. Besides, as much as I love Johnny Gargano, I think they're going a little too comical with the way now. And it can be annoying. It can be annoying sometimes, even though Bronson still looks great. What was I going to say? What is his name? Why am I blanking out his name? To the moon.
Cameron Grimes.
Every time Cameron Grimes is on the screen, I am in absolute heaven. I love that man.
Yeah, me too.
He's the best. Him walking into a high-end watch store, asking for the best watch they got, just like white trash as hell. Like doesn't even know watches at all.
Yeah, that was really cool. Well, that was going to be my Who Wins Wrestling, so let's get into that, shall we? Sure. Let's do that real quick so I can talk about it.
Ow. Who wins wrestling? Blah, 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 blah.
Sorry, I got attacked by a cat as I was in the middle doing it. God damn it. do you have Who Wins Wrestling before I get into mine?
I'm going I was thinking almost, but I have to go. There's no way you cannot go with him. It's Kenny Omega. It's like the guy who's considered the best. What do you call him? The bout, whatever. Like he's one of the best wrestlers in the world, like hands down. And they kind of like did a slow burn with him on AEW, and everybody was getting angry about it. Like why isn't he like the world title holder? Why is it? And now you see why they did this slow burn and then turn him into this kind of douche character that he's playing right now, which is perfect. And him and what's his name? Why am I going to call him Cyrus? Don Callis. Him and Don Callis are fantastic together. They got the Good Brothers with them. And it's just an unstoppable, entertaining group of guys with Kenny Omega, as a front man with all the belts. And like I said, this opens up avenues to have AAA Impact people on AEW and Kenny Omega vice versa on their shows. It's a win-win for everybody involved in this.
Absolutely. I can't see it not getting better from here. Like it seems like they have a decent plan, or at least even if they don't have a plan, like what they're doing right now is gold, and they seem to know it's gold. So I'm looking forward to it. I want to see what else they do with this. My Who Wins Wrestling, like I was talking about before, was Cameron Grimes. That promo that he did on NXT with the watch tour was great. And Ted DiBiase shows up out of nowhere, the Million Dollar Man, and laughs right in his face, which was absolutely great. I hope there was some podcast that DiBiase was on. I think it was either Mark Henry or Booker T. One of their podcasts.
I listened to neither.
I didn't hear it myself. I just heard it reported. But DiBiase was on there, and he's saying that he was going to be doing this with Cameron Grimes for a little while now. So I'm looking forward to whatever that turns into. If it's just Cameron Grimes getting more and more humiliated as it goes through, or if DiBiase starts managing somebody again, that'll be awesome. And they have a match. It'd be great. I'm really looking forward to it. I love the hell out of DiBiase, and Cameron Grimes is just gold. Anytime he comes on, like you were saying before, it's just it's hilarious, and it all makes sense, and it's all brilliant, and I can't wait to see more of it.
And I was gonna say, doesn't AEW have their You want to run through it real quick? Don't they have their major?
Do you know what it's called? is it Revolution? Is that what it is, or did that already happen?
Blood and Guts.
Oh, Blood and Guts. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we have a card for it yet?
Let me take a look here. Sorry, I wasn't prepared. I didn't know this was on its way.
I think it's this Wednesday.
Is this? Nope, this was...
I mean, we definitely had the Inner Circle versus Pinnacle and basically the first, their version of War Games. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing how they do it. It's basically War Games. That's what they're, it really? Is. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to get around it compared to WWE. Like if they, so they don't get sued. two rings, man. One member from each faction for 5 minutes. This is War Games.
Yeah, teams wow. Will turn.
In 2 minute intervals, teams will have a new one for an advantage.
Hmm. That's the Inner Circle and
the Pinnacle.
And the Pinnacle, yeah. Wow, okay. They call it a Blood and Guts match. Wow. Real clever. and you have Kenny Omega and Nakazawa versus yeah. Moxley and Kingston. That's awesome.
It's going to be a fun match. Like,
yeah. Britt Baker versus TBA. SoCal Uncensored versus Jurassic Express versus Varsity Blondes versus The Acclaimed. That is probably going to be a mess, but one of those awesome messes that we don't really... it's hard to call, but looking good at the same time. Yeah, man, we got a lot of awesome matches. There's Cody Rhodes versus QT Marshall. All right, yeah, and this is happening. Where is this? This is on
tomorrow.
It's on Fight TV. Is it tomorrow? It is May 5th, 8 o'clock. Yeah. Wow. All right. It says fans outside the U.S. can watch it on Fight TV. And yeah, we're gonna. Be one of the lucky people that get to actually watch it live as it happens at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I gotta really try harder to get into it. Because I think with the lack of entertainment WWE's been putting out, yeah. I think we need to start investing more in what AEW's doing. It's just one of those weird things where like I work every Wednesday night, and I wasn't even seeing NXT. I think NXT's on right now. But I only had the Peacock Network, which I'm not even sure if I can watch it live on Peacock, like Raw or SmackDown, where I can't watch it live at all. Even though USA owns the channel, or the company, their parent company, USA, owns the channel, I still can't watch it live unless I watch it on Twitch.
And that's just annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's start wrapping up the show here, Mark. Do you have anything going on, anything you want to plug?
Dogecoin's going to the moon. Going to the moon.
To the moon, baby.
Well, you know that's exactly what he's built. That's what his character's built on.
Yeah.
It all came from Dogecoin.
And GameStop stock.
That's where it came from. send me money for more Dogecoin. I have nothing going on. The other podcast that I've been helping out, like I said, they're a bunch of industry guys. So they're kind of a mess, and they showed up last week. They never did the show on Monday, so they showed up at my bar last week when I didn't get done till midnight and wanted to come over to my house and drink and do the show. So I said no, and then we were supposed to do the show last night, and one of the guys canceled last minute. So what did your cat get now?
I don't even know. She's chasing something around. There's a plastic something.
Yeah, so I got nothing going on, man. I'm just waiting to see how Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live, how much money I make off Doge after that.
There you go.
I'm trying to be a .com millionaire, kids.
It's only going to go up from here, I'm telling you. What do I got going on? Check out this and every other episode of Wrestle Rock on WrestleRock.com. There you can hear the podcast. You can watch the podcast like here on YouTube. Check us out on the podcast app, wherever you get to podcasts. Make sure you hit subscribe. Check us out on the YouTubes at tinyurl.com/YouTube Rick Connor. That's C-O-N-N-O-R. Subscribe to it there. You can see a bunch of wrestling matches as well, like the show that we were talking about earlier where Corey just won the DCW No Limits Championship. That's going to be up very soon. So make sure you check that out. And I think that's it. I think that's all I plug, and that's all I'm going to plug. So there we go. That'll be it, about it for this episode of Wrestle Rock. I'm Rick Connor.
Mark Hollacker.
And let's take it out like we always do with Mr. Nick Burke.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Join us again for another episode of Wrestle Rock. This has been Jay Davis speaking.